All right, folks, welcome back. And joining us now is Tony Arteman of Wise Wolf Gold. And Tony has been a big supporter of this program for a long time. He set up DavidKnight.gold, so he knows if you're coming from us. And I want to talk to him. We got a lot of economic issues that are happening right now. We got budget deals. We got massive inflation. But it's all fixed now, isn't it, Tony? We don't have to worry about we got the soft landing that's coming in, but we still haven't landed. And as we look around, it looks like the door's blown off on the side of the plane, doesn't it, for you and I?
I thought that Alaskan Airlines flight. That's a pretty good analogy for what's happening to the Western economy in general. But hey, but now, David, we have a Bitcoin ETF. Everything's fine.
That's right.
Now you can get BlackRock to buy your Bitcoin for you. I am so confused by the interest in this.
Yeah.
And it's, I understand that a lot of the crypto traders and people say, we'll go into fiat and we'll get into the system. It'll become normalized. I'm thinking, well, that's the last place you want to go. But okay, we'll go ahead and let this ride.
Yeah, and I've seen an article, one person saying, well, I think that one bank, an analyst at one bank says he thinks that Bitcoin is going to hit $200,000 after this ETF approval. I don't know. I've seen a lot of volatility. I don't like volatility on something that I've invested in. It's like seems to me like it's kind of like a crapshoot, which is everything that's in the stock market. And once you roll the Bitcoin stuff into ETFs and make a derivative out of it and then trade it on the gambling floor, I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
My favorite part of the whole thing was the dissent of the SEC board. And the holdouts that didn't want this to happen, and they're mostly on the left.
Yeah.
And they believe that Bitcoin finances terrorism, that it's used for criminality and money laundering. And I think it's nothing. It's nothing compared to what the US dollar is. Are you paying attention? And of course they know that, mm-hmm. but it just really exposes the establishment's love and lust for unlimited fiat currency.
Yeah.
And I'm a fan of Bitcoin. I mean, that's not what I do primarily, but I started buying Bitcoin when it was $380
mm-hmm.
back in 2016, putting in my Bitcoin ATM. So I know a little bit about it. And I think right now we're going through a phase where it's there's going to be a lot of interest peak now because of the ETFs, but it really isn't the point of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the funny part about the whole thing is that it's a completely different system, but you're still interested in what the fiat banking system thinks about it. I'm not. I'm looking at parallel economies and what we do moving forward away from this.
Yeah. Yeah. They're saying, we're going to get institutional money in, as you point out. Is that really, you're looking at these institutions that are failing and corrupt. And that was the thing that I didn't read what the left said about it, but that was the big question mark in my mind about it. It's like we had this campaign from Elizabeth Warren. We got to destroy all crypto, the competitors to our CBDC right now. And yet, they on the SEC, they approve this. It really kind of surprised me, but you might even look at this and saying, so are they trying to sabotage it like they did with their derivatives in the real estate market? Real estate's good stuff, but look what they did with their derivatives. Is that what they're going to do to Bitcoin now with these derivatives? I'm not real.
For the dot-com bubble.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, are you sabotaging it from the, that's a great question. It's an open question. Or maybe it's just because there's an inevitability of cryptocurrency in the face of what's happened globally. I mentioned maybe on your show last week, on my show, I mean, 52 times more currency today in the world than there was in 1980.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right? That's a bubble of all bubbles, something we've never seen before, and it's going to crash.
Yeah.
I was talking to you off air about the Swiss National Bank. There's a systemic banking crisis on the horizon for 2024 and beyond. I think mm-hmm. we've seen that last year with Silicon Valley Bank and First Republic. But the Swiss National Bank, 2 years in a row. Now, again, this is Switzerland, where you go for a banking safe haven. The Swiss lost money at the Swiss National Bank level 2 years in a row, but they made money on one thing, and that's the gold they purchased that they have in their holdings. And that is a little bit ironic. But that's what we're seeing around the world, is that these central banks are buying gold, but the fiat currency system is imploding.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all moving away at different systems, and especially, again, unfortunately, right here, the U.S. dollar is on its way out, and it's not going to happen tomorrow, but we're seeing the signs.
And of course, inflation, they're telling us inflation's been licked now. because of the election, not because of any data. And, you know, you see the data from Chick-fil-A, prices increased 21% in 2 years. But that's not even the worst of it. Take a look at what you see at the grocery store and other things. And they can manipulate the price of stuff like fuel. And they can do that temporarily for the election. But we know what the trend is for the longest time. We know that Biden does want to destroy it for the long term. But they're going to profit from it in the short term. And they're going to use it to profit in terms of politics in the short term. When we, inflation, I think they're going to do everything they can to pull every manipulation they can this last year, but it still remains this next year, this election year, but it still remains to be seen if they can really do anything about it or if it's going to blow up in their face.
Well, these financial products that we are so ubiquitous today, 401ks, IRAs, just the amount of advertising that you see to open up a stock buying account, all these things, in my opinion, were put in place after 1971, so you wouldn't pay attention to the fact that your dollar buys less and less every single year. The purchasing power is diminishing. And yeah, the inflation rate, they always peg it. It's 7%. It's 8%. We're getting it. They have the what Jerome Powell referred to as the terminal rate, which I think that's more apropos to what they've done. But you have to think math isn't political. Math just is. It exists outside of the realm of what you believe. You know, it just is going to reinforce reality. And I think that's what happened with, you know, in the last 3 or 4 years, you have 80% of all the dollars ever created in history, in the United States history, made in the last 48 months. And that's going to create inflation. It's an inflation of the money supply. And that makes the cost of goods go up. And of course, you don't even factor in a lot of these retailers like Chick-fil-A. It's not just the rising cost of goods, but you have to recalculate what your profit margins are. That's a whole other, that's an entirely different calculation, because when the prices increase, guess what else increases? Fees. Mm-hmm. You have credit card fees. Mm-hmm. Most consumers don't know the entity that makes the most at your gas pump. It's not the gasoline retailer. It's the credit card company. The credit card company makes more per gallon than the person who owns the store.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I promise you that. It's $3 a gallon. That's 3 cents on every, that's 9 cents a gallon that goes to Chase Manhattan or it goes to BlackRock. Okay. That doesn't go to the person who owns the convenience store. So you add those fees in. So there's all sorts of hidden fees. And anytime the prices increase, and I will tell you something, folks, if the big banks thought inflation was a problem for them, then they would be talking about fighting inflation and wanting to do something about monetary policy and budget policy, but they don't. They like higher prices. They make more.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. You had the experience of having been involved with a gas station. You know what those margins are. In our retail operation, the credit card fees are just crushing, you know, and there really wasn't anything that we could do about it. You know, as everybody would move to plastic, you know, that's another reason to use cash is to cut out these big credit card companies and big banks that are working on ways of how they can debank us and take our money, steal our money from us. You're feeding those evil institutions that are out there, and it'd be better for you to feed the local businesses that you're dealing with and then also keep your anonymity. But it's just the convenience of the credit card for the consumer, and that's the way this thing has been going. You know, there's Michael Mahari, who is with the 10th Amendment Center. I've interviewed him many times, but of course, he also talks about gold. He said there's three things that have been driving a bull market in gold into the new year. He said there's the demand factor, the Fed factor, and the January factor. He said as far as demand goes, he said gold has been up 13% this last year. And that's what you're talking about in terms of the one thing they're making money in Switzerland with. But he said there's also the January factor. And the fact is that gold makes these big price increases in January for the most part. It goes up. Have you noticed that?
I do. And, you know, Michael's right about that. I read that article on the Wise Wolf Gold and Crypto show on Monday, and mm-hmm. I think he's spot on. I follow his work. He's now over at Money Metals. Mm-hmm. Smart guy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think he's right about historically and about January. There was a couple of asterisks there that I think it was 2012 or a couple of different years that didn't happen, but we're seeing a bump. And I think, you know, right now gold's trading a little under $2,030 per troy ounce. But we're in a lull right now. There's been a lot of profit taking. But I don't think it takes a psychic or anybody with any sort of skills to look into the future and say that gold's going to break its all-time high again in 2024. I think that I think the horse is out of the barn. You look at what happened in the last quarter of 2023, and I think that's nothing compared to where we're going. There's been a lot of delayed reaction too, David. This is something I study every single day, and it's in my business, it's my life. And I remember back in 2020, when gold hit its all-time high, before that, there was a lot of reports coming out in major financial institutions. They don't talk about this anymore, but they were just throwing out easily gold at 3,000. This was like Citibank and other major corporations and banking institutions. That was kind of put to bed because there was, I think, again, gold is an enemy of the Federal Reserve. Gold is an enemy to the fiat banking system. The more that the price, when you see the price of it go up, then there's something wrong with the currency. And so I think they constantly try to keep that in balance. And those wheels are coming off is because the BRICS nations and these other nations, like we were just talking about the Swiss, they want to see their gold holdings go up. And if the pricing model is tagged to what the West has now, which has been for decades, it seems odd. Like, what is happening? Why don't these prices move, especially with the loss of purchasing power? I think we're seeing the beginnings of what the reset is actually going to look like, and the price of gold will go up. I'm not giving you investment advice. Let me make that clear. It's not an investment. The price isn't really going up. It's just your dollar's losing purchasing power.
That's right. Yeah. And you know, we're talking about Michael Meharry and his big interests are gold and the 10th Amendment, you know, trying to get power away from Washington. Yes. And we talk about that inherent competition between the Federal Reserve and gold in general. It's very interesting to see what's happening in Texas. You've got a primary coming up in March. And so they put a lot of ballot initiatives on in the primary, and that can come in from the grassroots Republicans, but they still are involved in the political party, but it's fairly large. And so they've pushed in some things like, the Texas secession. That's one of them that they keep putting in there. But they've had in the past things like, a ballot amendment for the primary to show the Republican support for protecting kids from trans mutilation stuff, for example. And those have frequently found their way into legislation by the Republicans because it's a Republican state, heavily Republican. And if they see that there's a lot of support on these particular issues at the primary level, there's a chance that they'll put it in and enact that policy. And so they've been able to get a ballot proposition onto the Texas Republican primary that'll be in March that would have the Texas government use the comptroller's office to start a program to, quote, administer access to gold and silver through the Texas Bullion Depository for use as legal tender. And we're seeing this happening, as you know, and as I've talked about in the past, we're seeing this happen in a lot of different states. Here in Tennessee, we've got Senator Nicely and some others who have been working on trying to get first they called a state bank, and the state and the local banks thought that might be competition to him. So he wisely renamed it a Tennessee Reserve System to get them to understand that this is something to get away from the central control of the Federal Reserve. And then also to set up a depository like Texas has. They're the only ones who have that right now. But the real issue is going to be if you can deposit and keep gold there and then write checks on it. That'll be an interesting move. And it'll have consequences, I think. The first state that does it, it's going to be a breakthrough. And I think a lot of other states are poised on this and talking about it. I think they'll probably follow through on that as well. What do you think about that? And how is that going to affect this competition between the Federal Reserve and the states who are trying to pull power away from it?
Well, if you recall, I think it was about mid-2023, the Texas legislature was also considering a digital gold currency that would be run by the state of Texas. I'm all for states exploring this and having bullion banks. I think you need to be cautious when you're talking about the state running anything that would resemble a currency. I don't know that I like that. I don't think that's needed. But if there's a way for the state to at least enforce that gold and silver are legal tender, I think that's great. This is part of the decentralization process. But I think if you put it to a vote, just looking at Costco, David, looking at Walmart, we know that they're selling gold bars and they're running out. The public is hungry for something different. They want some stability. And in gold and silver have always been a safe haven. I think people are starting to pay attention again, especially when you're talking about, hey, it hits you where it hurts. It hits you where your chicken sandwich, you know, your chicken sandwich went up 25%. People start paying attention eventually. And
my dollar is starting to look like a waffle fry. You know, it's got all these holes in it.
Shrinkflation. You're like, well, there's not enough chips in my bag of chips anymore. All that stuff that hits people. And they're starting to pay attention. So I think this will be part of our future. And it needs to happen on a state-by-state basis, granting, you know, legal tender status to gold and silver, even throwing in things like Bitcoin. There's some states that allow you to even use some of your crypto to pay for property taxes. I think Ohio does that. There's a couple of states that do that. And I think this is important, especially moving into the future. What you have to be cautious about, and what you mentioned, is creating another fractional reserve banking system out of the state. This greed always creeps in. I don't trust politicians. I was on a ballot in Texas about, what was it, 10 years ago or so. So in that same primary ballot was one where they you could vote to initiate the Texas secession. They actually had something on there that was like a preliminary test model. And I think that's any kind of ballot.
That's there again this year, Texas secession.
That's growing. See, you know, 10 years ago when I ran for Congress in Texas, even in like deep East Texas, when I would say we need to end the Fed, people didn't know what I was talking about, but now they do. So this is like, this was Ron Paul's book, End the Fed. I was on that. That was part of my plank, like right up there on the top of my campaign website. Is auditing and ending the Federal Reserve. I want to audit. I want to figure out where the money went, and I want to, you know, create a new sound money system. And I think that was a little bit over people's heads at the time. Not everybody, but right now that would be a huge thing. Like if you were, and you don't see many people doing that, but I think that will be part of the future too. Is that there's
and I think that's the key thing. I think what you're saying is people's awareness of the federal system, you know, the Federal Reserve system, and that's really what's behind the thing to call it a Tennessee Reserve. So it's not like they're going to set up some kind of a fiat currency fractional reserve system thing here, but they're saying, you know, for the small banks, the way it's worked in North Dakota, they have far more small banks and local banks there than they do anywhere else. And so it's a move to try to decentralize and keep competitive the financial situation. So, you know, it's cutting some loans and things like that and kind of backing up the loans with them on some of the things, that type of thing. But I think, you know, regardless of the details, and of course the devil is in the details on these bills, you know, the Texas thing. But what it shows is that there's a tremendous amount of awareness of the untrustworthiness of the fiat currency, and that there's a lot of demand at the grassroots level to try to move to something that is legitimate, like gold. That's constitutional money, you know? And so there's an effort to try to get away from the centrally controlled, corrupt, manipulating financial system, trying to get back to honest money. And that's at a grassroots level. I think that's the big takeaway. I don't know what the details are in the proposal you would have to see what they actually proposed if they do something in the legislature, and the details would be very important. But what we can see right now is this grassroots demand to get away from this corrupt, centrally controlled system. And I think that's really what's driving all these efforts, whether you're talking about Florida or Oklahoma or Texas or Tennessee, it's to get away from this Federal Reserve control.
Well, it gives me a little bit of joy. You have to realize that somewhere a bankster has a lot of anxiety over this simulation. They're like, wait, that wasn't supposed to happen. They're supposed to beg for to be biometrically scanned and give up all their data and their freedom for this central bank digital currency, this CBDC. They're still going to implement it. We're on the path for central bank digital currency. But when it lands, will it be inert? That's the question. If enough of us and the grassroots and the states continue to give you a way out of it, or a parallel system, then it's toothless.
Yeah.
And I think that should be the goal. It's not that we can completely stop the central bank digital currency, because they're going to implement it. I mean, you're talking about BIS, the Bank of International Settlements, IMF. This is coming from the top down. They're going to do something with it. But if we continue to see this trend, which I'm very excited about, I think, you know, again, and it may even hurt my business. I don't know. Some of it may hurt me. I don't care. I think freedom and liberty are the most important things. I want to, you know, this is our legacy, is what we fight for. So I like the fact that, you know, make gold legal tender, silver legal tender, you know, and I think people would rather trade in that. Once you become familiar with it, David, once people start using gold and silver on a daily basis or to trade amongst themselves, then you won't use dollars.
Made big steps along those ways. We had a lot of states that have taken off, capital gains tax on the sale of gold and silver and things like that, so that, you know, they're not treating it as a commodity. And so that helps to facilitate people being able to use it to, in private exchanges to buy and sell stuff. And so we're seeing these steps being taken. And I think that awareness of, all these different things, regardless of how they might ultimately work out, it really shows us that people are aware of the dangers of this centralization. And you're talking about how sensitive they are to criticism of the Federal Reserve. It's just this week that I realized that when It's a Wonderful Life came out, the FBI was putting out, and it's been publicized by a lot of people, how much they hated that movie. They called it a communist movie. They started investigating people that were involved in it. I said, well, that explains a lot of the censorship that I've seen with that one report, because, you know, just to criticize bankers, not even the Federal Reserve, but just to criticize bankers in general. Oh, well, then you are a communist if you don't like Mr. Potter and that thing. They created this guy as a villain, and the FBI is not interested in what he did with the money that he stole from this grand larceny, especially in those days. $8,000, and I think it was more than he quoted for the price of the house. He said, George, you can have like a $5,000 house or something. There's a substantial amount of money even today, but especially back then. But they're not worried about that crime. The crime that they saw in all of it was criticizing bankers. That's where we are.
Those alphabet agencies, the alphabet agencies have a long history of connections to international banking. Even go back to the founding of the Central Intelligence Agency, you'll see a lot of connections. These, there's a reason why in 2019, the last quarter of 2019, you saw the largest exodus of CEOs in history. Mm-hmm. You're telling me that the multinational corporations and finance don't have connections to intelligence? Yeah, give me a break. There was an article by the Mises Institute, kind of in that same line of logic, about the Secret Service and their history as an enforcer of the fiat currency system. Mm-hmm. They actually had some stronger language to it, but there's an article. It's up on Zero Hedge. I think they called him a Gestapo. And I was reading over the article before we went live, and I say I knew that. I'd read that before. There's a lot of criminality in the banking system. I mean, there was a meme being shared, and I hate to debunk it, but there was a meme that I liked a lot. It showed a kilogram bar of gold. Okay, so 32.13 ounces of gold. And it said 10 of these in 1920 would buy you a house, it would buy you the average house. And then it says 10 of these in 2024 will buy you the average house. Well, it's supposed to be a 10-ounce bar. Sorry, I had recalculated it, but they're exactly right. So the crime... Again, they were right about the premise was right, but it's too much gold. Yeah. It's basically you need 10 of the bars will be 200,000 instead of the they had like 600,000. That's not the median price of a home.
Yeah.
But the premise is right. And so the crime is in that meme. Think of the crime of that. Like how much wealth was stolen when they decouple the dollar from gold, when they take the silver out of our coinage? How much crime is in that? I mean, it's massive. You've created a completely new class of people that are going to be dependent on government. That's what they've done. They've made the American dream so far out of reach. I was reading was it 10% of investors in America own 97% of the stock?
Wow.
That wealth disparity, that's because of our fiat system.
And you look at, the Federal Reserve and then, of course, also Wall Street, which is why it concerns me so much, this natural asset company thing, right? When you look at, if they can just go in and ban gold or confiscate gold and set up central bank fiat currency and, you know, wave their hands and make this happen and okay, this kind of derivative thing over here. You know that they're perfectly capable of doing something like this natural asset company where they, you know, you look at the presidents, especially Trump, his metric of success was always what's going on with the stock market. You know, he wasn't, and when you look at what Biden is doing with jobs created, it turns out that about two-thirds of his jobs that were created, they now admit were not there at all. But we always see that being done. They always come out and manipulate the unemployment figures a quarter or two down the road so that they can create a new trend, right? They come, first, they put stuff out and say, look at all the different jobs that we created, even though they didn't create them. And then next quarter or two quarters down, they revise those previous numbers so they can make this quarter's numbers look better. That is a trick that they have always done, just like this whole thing going on with this deal that's gotten some of the conservatives upset with Johnson about them saying that they had massive cuts to the IRS. Republicans achieved massive IRS funding cuts in the spending agreement, says Daily Caller. Well, they didn't cut anything at all. They cut the proposed increase, but they made it 5.5 times bigger. So these types of lies, that's why I think, you know, the inflation stuff, even though they say that they're going to pull out all the stops for the election and appear to be trying to do that, I don't think they're going to make any dent on this at all, really.
No. And it reminds me a lot of, remember John Kerry, what was it, the 2004 election, and it was $87 billion that was in a defense budget, and he's, you know, you vote, he was for it before he was against it, kind of thing. And that's the way Trump ran against the stock market. Remember this.
Yeah.
He said, it's a bubble. It's based on nothing. We got to audit the Fed. There's so much debt. And then he was elected, and then that was all about, his presidency was all about how wonderful the stock market was. And I remember, If you've paid attention to history at all, you're going to look at the stock market and these numbers. And I opened up Wise Wolf in 2018. I was down in San Antonio. I had Fox Business on every day, and of course, I'm completely inoculated against it. It doesn't affect me, so I'm just watching it, just kind of as intel. And I'm thinking, this isn't going to last. This is fake.
Yeah.
And but I would see the prices of metals were down. I mean, gold was, you know, $1,200 an ounce, $1,100 an ounce at sometimes. And that is so dirt cheap. And I would look at just with the price of the dollar index and everything else. Silver, I was buying American Eagles at $16. I mean, that just seems like a quaint time. But where'd all that so-called wealth go? You know, it's all fake. And yet they're going to have they've got, you know, three lowering of rates in 2024. They got more planned for 2025. Are they even going to? I don't know can they plan monetary policy anymore that far out, David? I don't think they can. I don't know that even the so-called experts really understand the implications of doing what has been done to the dollar, not only through the expansion of the money supply, but through our arrogance and the sanctions, what we've done to weaponize the dollar, that blowback that is happening. And it's happening, it doesn't just, you know, overnight all these nations rise up and start dumping the dollar. It's just, you know, gradually and then suddenly. And that's, I think that's what we're seeing.
Yeah, it is true. And the ability to create these fake illusions of wealth here and then remove them. That's why when I look at these things like this Bitcoin ETF, like the natural asset companies and all the rest of this stuff, it's like, I just don't want to participate in this fraudulent fantasy football league, you know, that they've got going. And that's what it looks like increasingly to me. It's like there's nothing real about it, but they can make it really miserable for you. They can manipulate even something like real estate. You know, once they get people leveraged into that, they can really do a rope-a-dope and a pump and a dump, and they've got so many different tricks up their sleeve. And it really is concerning when I see something like this. You know, just this last week, looking at the great taking and looking at the natural asset companies, boy, I tell you, they've got some humongous schemes on the horizon, which makes me want to, run to something that is private and something that I hold that retains its value all the more. That's why I think gold, I really don't have a problem telling people about what a valuable and secure investment gold and silver are. And that's just key, I think, to try to get out of these schemes.
Well, as a young soldier, the Army teaches you the motto is adapt and overcome. That's what I think we're, that is our charge in these coming years, in this decade of the Great Reset, of Agenda 2030, is adapt and overcome. The old system that we're watching implode is not going to be there for you. I'm sorry. It's not. The history, if it's, history is your guide, if every fiat currency goes to zero and the United States dollar is the world's oldest living fiat currency, okay, since 1971, decoupled from gold, the average lifespan is 26 years for a fiat currency. We're 50 years plus on.
Yeah.
This isn't going to end well. And I would say, again, you have other countries transitioning away from the dollar system. This is going to affect us on an individual level, how our economy operates. But you'll see, but the silver lining to all of it is like just what we've been talking about. States decentralizing. You see the Bitcoin, even though they're looking at the ETFs, and I find it silly, but that's, it's opening up new interest.
Yeah.
They're new systems.
I've got a comment here from Amos Poole and a tip. Thank you very much, Amos. I appreciate that on Rockfin. He said, I've heard with the Bitcoin halving, cutting it in half, right, in April, and the likelihood of the SEC approval of ETF, which has happened, there'll be a large rally in Bitcoin and other cryptos. So yeah, that probably will. I think it will go up quite a bit. It's just, I look at it and I look at the volatility, and I'm old enough to have been in the stock market and had massive paper gains that then disappeared and then some. You know, so it's, the volatility scares me. The virtual aspect of it is something that scares me. And when I look, but the thing more than the investments, I think I get your comments on it, Tony, but more than the investments, it's just these manipulations with CBDC and the NAC and things like that. I want to get out of that system. I want to get out of a digital system. I want to get out of a Wall Street system. I just don't want to participate in. That's just my personal thing.
Well, I'm skeptical on so many fronts with this, because first of all, that's how you manipulate the price of silver and gold, or through ETFs, through paper.
That's right.
Okay. So you're not actually holding Bitcoin.
And who knows if they're going to have that. We've talked about that. Did they really have that silver and gold in the Shanghai Exchange, or are they using the Shanghai Exchange to Shanghai the price of gold and silver?
Well, yeah. Show me, you know, and I just wonder, like, counterparty risk, would you rather hold it? I mean, because right now I can buy Bitcoin. You can buy it pretty much anywhere now. It's ubiquitous. Same thing with gold or silver. I don't have counterparty risk if I have that gold coin or bar or silver bar, or if I have Bitcoin and it's my own wallet, not attached to an exchange. Well, it's just, again, this is just the beginning, though. You know, the crypto space was built. You know, the cypherpunks, the cryptographers back, you know, the whoever Satoshi Nakamoto was after the 2008, 2009 debacle, this is what Bitcoin was born out of, that. And yeah, for 10 years, they've been trying to get this ETF pushed through. They finally got it. So I have, you know, mixed emotions on it. Fine. But I'm looking at the new systems that are being created. It's actually exciting, because there's so much more awareness now of what money is, or what currency actually is. The two things sometimes go together, but they're not exactly the same all the time. And so I think when you see people becoming more aware, it's good. It's not going to be perfect, but I think it's good that people are becoming more aware. I think that Bitcoin and crypto will rally. You need to be skeptical, though. I'm not in that space to make anything. And, you know, I think that there's hope on it. I think it's a good space to be in. It's exciting. But be very careful, because there's going to be a lot of things. And I think they're counting on that, too, by the way. I think they're counting on something like an FTX moment, where they say, well, we like the digital stuff, but what we really need is regulation. And the best way to regulate that is through the central bank. And here's your CBDC.
Yeah. It is surprising to see them. In a sense, you know, the community in general thought that they're going to approve the ETF thing, but it is surprising. As much as the Democrats have hated, as you point out, to see that go through, I kind of thought, well, maybe they'll stop it, because they've been at war with crypto all this last year. But again, tell us a little bit about what's going on at wisewolf.gold.
Well, lots going on. We've been securing product going into this first quarter. It's weird out there. The prices are strange. The premiums dropped a lot on silver. So we're able to offer some lower prices right now on a lot of different items, especially some of our 90% silver and other things that are pre-1965 U.S. coinage. But we've got a lot of exciting things. The Wolf Pack is growing, so I'm happy to see that. You know, anytime you join, you can go through davidknight.gold and put in promo code 1776, get you some free constitutional silver, which is going to be great in the coming months and years when, you know, you've got a silver dime. You know, they made fun of Ron Paul because he said he could get gasoline back down to a dime a gallon. And he said, actually, a silver dime's worth $3. So it's something like that. I think you're going to see in our new economy that's emerging after, you know, what the damage that's been done to the dollar. So we got the two locations, Branson, Missouri, and Denison, Texas. Both of them there, just bricks and mortar to serve the general public. If you're in those areas, we can take care of you there. Well, you can go to davidknight.gold. We serve nationwide. A lot of people right now, David, are rolling over their 401ks and IRAs, getting into physical precious metals.
Mm-hmm.
That's something we can do. It's pretty seamless. We've done a lot of them now. We've made it a really quick process. We've got a great partner that does all the legal called New Direction Trust. They made stuff really easy. We can get in there and roll over your paper, but mm-hmm. you got to be careful. All this, even your Bitcoin, you go on the ETFs and you're buying ETFs, it's paper.
Yeah,
you don't want that.
It's a derivative. Opinion. Yeah,
it's a derivative. Yeah, yeah. A lot of good things are going on. I've opened up a lot of supply chains, and we'll just see what happens. Again, it's a privilege to be able to be here at this point in history to sponsor your show, to do what I do. We've got great things going on. Also, you know, the freeworld.fm, our new online station is doing well. We look forward to soon. You'll be over there. We'll have you broadcasting on Free World. It's just another, we built a lifeboat for free speech. That's something we've done with some of the money that we've made off of Wise Wolf and Wolfpack. I'm just reinvesting it into free speech and liberty. And
that's key, the systems that keep us because free. I think that's another part of it too. You know, we look at the CBDCs and we look at the NACs and stuff. Of course, they're going to be weaponizing their censorship, and AI is going to give them all kinds of power that they haven't had before. So these other outlets are going to really be key. So I really do appreciate you doing that. And Tony, and thank you so much for your support of the program. It's always great to have you on and get your insights. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
The David Knight Show is a critical thinking super spreader. If you've been exposed to logic by listening to the David Knight Show, please do your part and try not to spread it. Financial support or simply telling others about the show causes this dangerous information to spread farther. People have to trust me. I mean, trust the science. Wear your mask. Take your vaccine. Don't ask questions.
Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.